Good morning with KUAC Local News. I'm Robin. Fairbanks forestry helicopters flew out to fire locations this week. The Salter River fire is about 7 acres and had 56 firefighters working to make containment lines around the fire to ensure it doesn't spread toward multiple cabins along the river a short distance away. Forestry spokesperson Tim Mowry says fire crews spent most of Thursday securing the edge of the fire.
They've got it 20% contained. It's still at 7 acres. They don't expect any further growth if everything goes according to plan, and they're hoping to have it fully contained and controlled by Sunday.
The fire is about 50 miles southeast of Fairbanks and about 25 air miles up the Salter River from the Richardson Highway. The fire is burning about a quarter mile south of the river. There are multiple cabins on both the south and north sides of the river in that area, but Mowry says they're not considered threatened. The fire is burning in black spruce and mixed hardwoods on a hillside on the south side of the river after being started by lightning. It was first reported Wednesday afternoon, and the White Mountain Type 2 crew and the Tanana Chiefs Type 2 crew were both flown into the fire by helicopter.
They've cut a saw line, you know, they've cut trees down around the fire to deprive it of fuel if it does flare up. They've got hose around the entire fire, so they have a water source to extinguish any hot spots they find.
Supplies are being shuttled into crews by helicopter from a staging area set up in Salcha. Mowry says mild weather has been helping, and the interior Alaska summer has been cool and wet enough to keep the forest from developing really fast and big fires.
These fires are still really burning for the most part on the surface because that deeper layer of duff has not dried out to the point where it's going to burn and carry a fire.
Fire managers are aiming to have the Salcha fire fully extinguished before a warming and drying trend that is forecast to hit the interior in the next few days. Governor Mike Dunleavy and State Revenue Commissioner Lucinda Mahoney outlined the administration's fiscal plan for the Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce yesterday. KUAC's Dan Bross reports.
The governor's plan would eliminate the annual legislative fight over use of permanent fund earnings by putting a formula for the draw in the state constitution. Addressing Fairbanks Chamber of Commerce members in person, Governor Dunleavy outlined the structural change, which is in resolutions before legislators. It would set an annual draw of 5% of permanent fund earnings and spend half the money on state government and the other half to pay out hefty PFD checks.
Government will get their 50% to spend on government. People get their 50% to spend on private sector and other things.
Dunleavy emphasized the urgency of action, saying Alaska's budget uncertainty is resulting in lost business and distracting legislators from addressing other important issues. He held up the state's nearly exhausted Constitutional Budget Reserve, or CBR, account as reason to enshrine an approach to permanent fund use.
If we don't save the ERA, the earnings reserve of the permanent fund, it's going to be gone the way of the CBR. We spent $16 to $17 billion of the CBR in the last 7 years. So that's why I'm saying it's got to be done now.
The value of the permanent fund recently surged to over $80 billion, and Revenue Commissioner Lucinda Mahoney said that makes it a good time to enact another part of the plan, a one-time draw of an additional $3 billion from the permanent fund to help bridge significant budget gaps until new revenue sources and fund growth can fully cover the shortfalls.
We believe that we will be in a surplus situation within 5 years. And this is actually pretty incredible for us to accomplish this in this time frame without having to tax you.
The premise hinges on oil prices and the stock market continuing to go up, as well as additional budget cuts and undetermined new revenue. State Senator Scott Kawasaki listened to Thursday's presentation, and while the Fairbanks Democrat applauds the administration's work on the plan, says it's incomplete without defined new revenue.
I think it would be very irresponsible of any legislature in the 31st legislature to go ahead and just vote for something like this without knowing how we're going to be able to come up with the revenues to be able to provide the kinds of services that people want.
The legislature is currently meeting in a special session, and Governor Dunleavy's Senate resolution is scheduled to be heard in the Senate Finance Committee this afternoon at 1:30. Any constitutional amendment would be additionally subject to a vote of the people. In Fairbanks, I'm Dan Bross.
Preliminary work began last week on a project to create a museum exhibit featuring the old Fairbanks City Transit bus that was airlifted off the Stampede Trail last year. The bus became a pilgrimage site made famous by the book and movie Into the Wild. University of Alaska Museum of the North staff hope to begin hands-on work soon on Bus 142, which will be featured in a new outdoor exhibit they hope to open within 3 years. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
Colin Howard and another artifact conservation expert confer with Museum of the North staff about the fragile condition of Bus 142 before the conservators head back to Pennsylvania, where their art and artifact conservation company is based.
It provides a whole bunch of challenges. I mean, she's really dirty and she needs a lot of work.
Howard and his colleague Aaron Workington met with museum staff last Friday after a couple of days of examining the old rig as part of their assessment on what's needed to keep it from further deteriorating and make it presentable to the public.
So we don't want to make it brand new. I don't want to make it look like it was just repainted. It carries a significant story for multiple decades, and we want to keep that story going.
Those stories are told in part through the rust and chipping paint typically found on a 75-year-old vehicle, especially one that's been sitting exposed to the elements in a remote site near Denali National Park since it was hauled back into there in 1961. The bus served as a shelter for hunters and hikers, including Christopher McCandless, the hapless wanderer profiled in John Krakauer's account titled Into the Wild.
So we just want to stabilize it, make sure that the corrosion is no longer active. We want to stabilize flaking paint that's coming off. There's stories inside that are falling off of the walls, literally.
Some of those stories are told through graffiti that's been scrawled all over the bus and its few remaining windows. Many were left as an homage to the memory of McCandless, whose body was found in the bus on September 6, 1992, by some moose hunters. One of the scrawls reads, quote, "Godspeed, Chris, and say hi to my mom from me." Another reads, "Thanks for the inspiration." And yet another simply says, "He was here."
There's Japanese kanji in there, Russian. People from all the world have journeyed out here to interact with this relic.
Workington says the graffiti attests to the universal appeal of the story of McCandless, a tragic figure who, after graduating from college, decided to escape society and its materialism and set out to find the meaning of life, a search that led him deep into the wilds of Alaska.
So I think he touched on something that a lot of people struggle with, like I had mentioned earlier about dealing with the modern world, and it can be so overwhelming.
You know, this is a story that really resonates with millions of people around the world.
Angela Lynn is a senior collections manager at the Museum of the North.
And whether it's because of the mystique of Alaska, whether they really identify with, you know, Chris McCandless and transition that he maybe was going through himself, you know, that people see that in themselves.
Lynn, who's managing the project, says that's one of the main reasons why Museum of the North officials believe it's important to preserve the bus and share its stories with the public.
We think it's really important to spend the money and the time and the great amount of effort to bring all those stories together. And that's part of what our job is in museums, is to get people to connect those dots within themselves.
Lynn says it's cost about $7,000 so far for Howard's firm to assess the work needed on the bus and to come up with estimates on how much it'll cost to do it. The money was raised through online crowdfunding, and Lynn says she's hoping to raise additional money the same way with help from Friends of Bus 142, an online group founded by McCandless's sister, Corrine. Lynn says much of the consulting and planning for the exhibit is being done by a 25-member interpretive team, which includes university faculty and members of the community. She says if all goes well, the exhibit could be opened by the end of 2023. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
For KUAC, I'm Robin.